We're going to, well, I'd like for us to turn our thoughts to a title I slapped on this, Paul's Gospel or Israel's Gospel before Acts 9. And what I'm trying to cure or give reasons for people to cure in their own thinking is the likelihood of people tending to apply Paul's gospel before Paul was even saved. And they'll talk about, being saved back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or David being saved, maybe, and these kind of things. Israel was never given the gospel of Christ that we Gentiles had after Paul's salvation. And I'm not saying it was immediately after his salvation. There's a variety of opinions. As far as we know, the gospel of salvation that saved Paul was preached at least as early as Acts 13. Israel was repeatedly, before that, they were over and over preached Mark 1, 14 and 15, that gospel of the kingdom, that their promised kingdom was now at hand. It was within their reach to grasp it by believing that Jesus was their promised Messiah, the prophet like Moses. That Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19, said in the law, said it was necessary for Israel to believe. They didn't. They didn't believe him. That's where they fell short. They broke the law. And they were steadfast in it, as you well know. Does it bother us? Does it bother you that you can't tell from Acts 16:31 alone what God requires you to believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? I might believe that Jesus was short. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? Is that enough? Is it enough to believe he was short? Who says it's not enough? Why is it not enough? Or do you believe it's enough to believe whatever you want to believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you get to make it up what to believe about him? What if I only believe Jesus existed 2,000 years ago? Is that what you mean by believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, believing he existed? What authority says it's enough to believe whatever you want to believe? Is there some authority that you're listening to, or is that your own mind? Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What's the difference if it said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved? It says, believe on. Words mean something. Do we know what that verse actually means that we're relying on? What if someone believes that Jesus was a good man or a prophet? Is that what the verse in Acts 16:31 means? Who gets to determine what that verse means? And who gets to say what God means in the Bible by the non-specific exhortation to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And thou shalt be saved. Only God himself, in his Bible, gets to define what he meant when he inspired Paul to write it. By checking the context of the verse that we just used, Acts 16:31, we see that Paul definitely showed that merely believing what you want to believe about the Lord Jesus Christ was not enough. Let's go on after Acts 16:31. Here's verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. So here's this jailer, and he's responsible for the prisoners, and the earthquake busts open the gates of the prison, and he was going to kill himself so he wouldn't be tortured to death by the Romans. And Paul calls out, "We're all here. Don't hurt yourself." And he rushes in and says, "What must I do to be saved?" And they say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Well, what's that mean? So the next verse says, "They spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." Everybody got to hear what the gospel was, and got to choose. Verse 33, "And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized. He and all his..." Straightway. Didn't waste any time. They wanted in on it. Acts 16:32 says that Paul and Silas informed the jailer and all that were in his house about the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. The message of the Lord. What the Lord had said. The word of the Lord was not only the scriptures about who Jesus is, which it is, Romans 1:1-4, but it was the newly revealed Word of God to Paul for him to dispense to us Gentiles about how to be saved. Galatians 1:11-12. Paul dispensed God's new pattern of salvation to that Philippian jailer and to his household. And the context goes on to say in verses 33 and 34 that the Philippian jailer and his household believed that word of the Lord. What the Lord had said, they believed. And it was the word that Christ had earlier revealed to Paul to dispense. He was to dispense, and that's 1 Corinthians 9:17-18, and 1 Timothy 1:15-16. That's why we follow that pattern of salvation today. But we're talking about before Paul was saved. What did they have to go by? Did they have the grace gospel? In Paul's epistles, God, the reason I ask that before we go on, it bears on how we take the... there are some commands in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the exhortations, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, we're not to seek the kingdom of heaven. We'll be gone by the time the kingdom of heaven comes from heaven to earth. We'll be already in heaven with Paul, 2 Timothy 1:6-7. In Paul's epistles, God supplies us that new inspired word of the Lord. And we can plainly see what gospel God saves believers by today. And that didn't start until Paul was saved. Let's read through some of those verses. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, and then Ephesians 1:13-14, and Ephesians 2:8-9. Starting in 1 Corinthians 15:1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved." The gospel that saves. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you." So Paul claims that only his gospel is the one that saved them, present tense, at that time when they believed. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." And that's a key word, to receive it, not just to believe it's a fact, but to rest your case in that. To leave your salvation up to the Lord on the basis of this. "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, there's that word of truth again, the word of the Lord, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. For by grace are you saved. Are you saved? By grace, it says. By grace are you saved. Not by grace you will be saved. In other words, they're saved upon belief. It's through faith. That not of yourselves, that salvation. That's the subject there. The action word, I guess. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And we can also plainly see that the gospel of Christ to Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, was totally different. It was a totally different gospel than Christ's gospel to Israel of their promised kingdom coming out of heaven to earth. And I got a whole bunch of references about that, stretching from Genesis, Exodus, Isaiah, Matthew, Acts, and I think there's more too, but we'll go with those. Do you want a gospel that depends on your performance to save you? That's what Israel had before Christ saved unforgivable Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9. He was saved as a new pattern of salvation for us that come after Paul. For Israel, before Paul, you've got things to consider that fall in line with them not being saved yet, but being right with God at the current time until, you know, as long as they endure to the end. But here, I got a couple verses that show what their salvation was like, their life after salvation. Matthew 6:15. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. That's unfamiliar to us, isn't it? Fortunately, we're used to grace. I shouldn't say fortunately. Remember the thrill when you first realized that it didn't depend on you? It just depended on God and His nature, His nature of grace. He has nature of wrath too, but by depending on him, by relying on him, having faith in him to save you through what Jesus did on the cross, you're exercising faith, and that's what pleases God. But for Israel, not only do they have to forgive men their trespasses, or God won't forgive them theirs, but James 2:24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. That was true for Israel. That was Israel's word of truth, James 1:18. For us, after Paul, let me just read through, we're about to close, let me read through these verses that apply to the new salvation that we've got, a new pattern of salvation. Starting in 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. When did Paul have faith? Did he have faith when he was going out to... He had faith that he was right when he was going out to capture believers in Jesus. But he had the kind of faith in the Messiah that Jesus was looking for after that encounter on the road to Damascus, or starting at that encounter. He enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I found mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. In other words, before that encounter on the road to Damascus, he did not have the faith that counted, the faith in the Messiah, the faith in that prophet like unto Moses that would come, that they would listen to. He started listening, but not before the road to Damascus and his encounter with Jesus Christ that saved him. Going on, 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not on the basis of their performance or their behavior, on the basis of their recognizing their sinnership, that their need of a Savior, and that Christ is the only Savior. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul said, "I'm chief. I'm the head, the head of the sinners. I'm the first one in that way. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. To who? To them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." And that's not all the elements of the gospel, but that's what it's referring to. We read the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. So the gospel of the grace of God for us today in 1 Corinthians 15:1 to 4 is that a person is saved by exclusively believing that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, died my death for my sins on the cross, and that he was buried and rose again the third day, and that that was sufficient for God. And that's obviously quite different than Israel had. I'm done. But it is different than what Israel had before Paul, anybody had before Paul was saved.